Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie.
Hi, Mama. Hello. Hello, Julie. Hello, Life with the Girlfriends, or as we like to call it, LWTG. You're part of the LWTG community, people.
By the way, you're the only person that likes to say that. It's hard to say those words.
I love to say it.
I know, because I have a hard time. LWTG. Okay, yeah. That's it. Our Life with the Girlfriends.
The Life with the Girlfriends community.
Exactly.
How you doing, girlfriend?
I'm okay. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, the LWTG, you know, the Life with the Girlfriends. I mean, I know that out there with the millennials and everything, people are, you know, they just have to be who they are.
Right.
You know, I gotta be me. I gotta be me.
Right.
What can I be if I can't be me? Anyway, so I heard this week that there was I heard this one CEO talking. A CEO of a small corporation.
Okay.
And he was talking about
sort of like you are a small CEO of our corporation. Small, of our corporation. Got of it. Our, okay, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. He was talking about his human resource department.
Uh-huh.
And that they had come to him because they were being sued. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Oh, not another, you know,
not another one.
What do I have to do? What happened? What what happened to the product or whatever?"
Right.
But this time one of their employees that they hired, a millennial, had decided that he was, on certain days, he felt like a cat.
Hmm.
He
okay.
was a
Just
furry.
On certain days.
He was a furry.
Okay.
Well, it depended how he woke up.
Okay.
If he was a furry, if he was a cat.
Right.
And some days you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Some days you don't.
Yeah.
You know? And so that wasn't so much the problem. But the problem was that over the course of a month, he had asked for in the bathroom kitty litter,
oh, God.
And they did not provide it, and so now they're being sued because this person who feels like a cat, wanted kitty litter in the bathroom.
Right.
And I'm not even sure which bathroom or both bathrooms.
See, there's got to.
And now
this is
his
ridiculous.
CEO is being sued.
Right.
Now, I don't know if it's going to get thrown out in court. I have no idea.
Well, there are people out there who, let's just call them the bad apples, the ones that ruin life for everybody else, that they're postmodernist. They believe that their contribution to the world is to break things. And by breaking things,
yes,
they move things forward.
Yeah. They are the chaos people.
Yes. And so here's what I want to say to that person. To you, thank God I don't work with people like this because mm-hmm. I work with my family and I would just consider it weird. Or would I be like...
We're so blessed, aren't we? That
we're so
just
blessed
work
that I don't have any furries living in my family.
But here's
but
the thing.
If I did, I'd call it normal.
But if you came to me and you said you needed kitty litter, I would get you some.
You would.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing. But if I said, as a cat, I'm an exhibitionist kitty, and I need people to watch me as I use the kitty litter. And you're like, well, you know what? Now you're crossing the line.
Yeah.
Because I think me having to watch you is not
that now you're invading my eye
now
space.
Now you're invading my space.
Yeah.
And so your needs can't be better higher than my needs.
Yeah.
To not see that because that's damaging, and I will need major psychological training.
Yeah.
To go ahead and see my.
How can I unsee that?
Well, I remember this one. We were talking to this realtor, and she was talking about how she went to Greece, and how it was a great trip. But she still had this one issue that she had a hard time.
She loved Greece. It was fabulous. She remembered it. She showed us this one scarf. She was wearing this one scarf that was gorgeous. She goes, "Oh, I got it in Greece." But she said, "Go ahead and say
there's no toilets.
There's no toilets.
Where
in Greece.
Wherever she went, there were no toilets. They literally had they had holes.
Well, that was their toilets.
That was their toilets.
Yeah.
Holes in the ground.
Holes in the ground.
And she goes, you know, what do you do if you're on your period or something like that? And I thought, Or, you know, or you you're eating Greek food. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're like, I'm not used to eating Greek food. Yeah. My little bacteria in my gut doesn't know what to do with that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could tell, like, out of the whole trip, it was great. Mm-hmm. Except that she was still talking about this one issue.
Yeah, that she had to do a holding. And that you have to squat.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, like, okay, maybe it's okay if you squat. But there better be a banister or some pole that could help me get up. Once I've squatted.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay.
Because my feet fall asleep.
I thought to myself.
I want to have a funny papers.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not reading and squatting.
No.
Otherwise, because first of all, then where does the reading material go? It goes on the floor.
Yeah.
And what's been on that floor? Poop juice.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. I'm guessing, though, that there's a hose or like there's like a... a shower hose nearby that washed the floor. I don't know. I'm just grateful that I grew up with this situation of having a toilet. That I would rather have an outhouse than to just have to squat.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do know that squatting supposedly is the best. Most natural way.
Yeah, so good for you.
I was talking about this to somebody, and they were saying, you know, I just don't think this is natural. I don't think this is natural. And I'm like, okay. But now, like, I'm thinking about this. Sometimes natural isn't the best thing anymore.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I think toilets are an upgrade from natural.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what
naturally,
you mean.
We're supposed to squat.
People are saying, oh, you know, we're supposed to do things so organically, so naturally. Okay, then, yeah, go ahead and squat in a hole.
Yeah.
And then bury it.
Yeah. I think we've evolved beyond that to, like, being able to sit and chill for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because the American way we've been pushing so much and moving so forth that the only time we get to ourselves is on the toilet.
Yeah.
But not if you have a dog named Elliot, because if you have a dog named Elliot, he doesn't give you any peace because you can't close a door with a dog named Elliot.
Yeah. We have our dog goes all haywire if he sees a closed door.
I can be in a bathroom that's 50 feet away from you guys. He could be sitting in a recliner, chilling, looking out the window. Yeah. Yes, we have a recliner next to the window, so our dog,
our
Elliot,
dog can see the world.
Yeah, I can go to the bathroom in the back room.
Really, we decided long ago that we were going to give him his best life ever.
His best life ever. Hashtag his best life ever.
Right.
Ever, which does not mean my best life ever. So that's, you know, so I can... If I even think about closing the door, he will hop off of his recliner, run like a bandit, and bark at the door. Like, how dare you?
How dare
you? There are no closed doors in this house. Yeah. We do not have a closed door life.
Yeah.
We have no closed doors in this house.
No closed door policy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Therefore, we have this policy. Please don't look in the bathroom. You never know who's going to be in it using it. Just give us a... Everybody have... Keep your eye... Yeah.
Our kind. We have blinders.
We have our thing. I had a little bit of break in and privacy issue yesterday. So came home from work. Went upstairs to take a nap. And was listening to Stephen King's The Outsider. Or Outsider. I think it's called The Outsider, but it's a good book.
Yeah.
Audible. And I'm listening to it just so I can put myself to sleep. You know, the guy talks so deeply and melodically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
I know. I heard the reader. Awesome.
And my little cardinal came up to the, you know, to the window several times, started knocking on my window like, hello.
We have a cardinal. He's been here for how many years? A
couple years at least. Yeah. Who knocks on our windows all the time. I'm like, this is awesome. So I finally got up and I'm getting dressed. And I turn around. And by this time, I am dressed fully, thank God. And Dad is peeking his head through my bedroom door. I'm like,
what?
Hi, Dad. What's going on? He goes, you're upstairs. I'm like, yeah, I was sleeping. I go, I didn't hear you come up. He goes, no, it was intentional. I was trying to sneak up here. I go, why the fuck are you trying to sneak up into my bedroom? He goes, I thought the cardinal was up here making noise and I wanted to see it. And I didn't realize. He goes, I'm so sorry. I could have walked in on you getting dressed. I go, well, luckily, disaster avoided because I was already dressed.
Right.
But that's not the phrase, though. It's
disaster avoided.
But something averted. Disaster.
Catastrophe averted?
I don't know. Something like that. And I said, but, you know, it's okay. And I was no big deal about it. But I realized, though, that he could have walked in on me doing what? I don't know, really. I mean, I'm never naked in my bedroom more than 3 to 4 minutes.
Because you know.
well, also because I keep the blinds up because of my cardinal. I want to see it. Yeah. So I just like, you know.
Yeah. He comes. He loves you. That cardinal.
I know.
He loves you.
I thought you were going to say my dad loves me. No. Yes, he loves
me too. If you're upstairs.
But he has to.
The cardinal's upstairs. If you come down, he comes down to the kitchen window.
Yeah.
Or the sunroom window.
Yeah.
If you're out in the garage, he comes to the garage.
Yeah.
He just loves you.
Yep.
You are, you have an animal, is it a fetish? No.
I'll take it.
That's what it's called.
I'm a furry lover. I'm a feather lover.
I saw a sign. We were taking a ride, Norm and I, in the country. And I saw this big field. There was beautiful horses and nice pole barns and stuff. And the sign said, please do not call 911. My horses do sleep lying down.
Oh, God.
And I thought it was so interesting because yeah. I thought, you know, we did, us city folks did grow up with the idea that if a horse is laying down, it's yeah. dead or right. something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
So my feeling was this poor farmer probably had police come to his door several times saying, you know, somebody called that one of your horses is dead or whatever. And he's like, okay, I'll spend the money to right. have a sign made up, you know.
Right.
But it is difficult to, when you think about a dead horse.
Yeah.
Because I did do some research. And in the old days, uh-huh. you know, when people just did have horses.
Right.
And horses did die.
Right, horses
the
die.
Only, because these are a big animals.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just dig a hole and bury your little canary in the backyard.
Right.
You know? So what they did was they invented the blinders for horses so that you could put the blinders on a horse and then make that horse pull the dead horse to wherever the dead horses go.
Oh.
And the live horses never had to see that they were pulling dead horses. Otherwise, they might have
been uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, might have been. I said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Book, you know. So that's how blinders were invented. And then I was thinking that.
That's kind of nice.
Dad should be wearing blinders when he goes upstairs.
Oh, sure.
Just in case. Not that he sees a dead horse.
Yeah. Or that I'm a dead horse. That was what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
I'm the dead horse. Or I thought, like, maybe you have to, you know, wherever the horse ended up dying, that's where
he got buried.
That's where he got buried. I go.
Yeah. And maybe that's when, you know, they decided to invent lye.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Because they go, man, I can't bury another horse here.
Yeah. Did they invent lye or did they discover lye? Well, you know, it's interesting you're talking about misconceptions. And I have a lot of, I was driving and I went to La Crosse on Saturday night. And driving across Wisconsin for Dad, you know, and Illinois and Iowa. I've never come across this media campaign except in La Crosse. And my first thought is, someone got a grant for this. And is this a major problem in La Crosse? And here are some of the billboards. Like, she was your hero all your life. Now it's time to be hers. And it's an adult man taking care of his mom, you know.
Oh.
And there must be 7 or 8 just in my trip alone that talk about, hey, don't forget about your elderly parent. You need to take care of them.
Whoa.
And they're not commercials for a specific home.
Right.
It literally is, hey, don't let your mom go dying without being fed or, you know, mm-hmm. and so forth. Like, hey, you know, your dad worked his whole life to take care of you. Now it's time that you repay the favor. You know, like, make sure he's got food and water and stuff like that. I mean,
whoa.
Like, just the weirdest campaign.
I wonder if they're having some issues in La Crosse.
Well, I wonder, okay, is look, which is a beautiful city, by the way.
It's a gorgeous town.
Gorgeous city, gorgeous
yeah.
town.
Gorgeous.
And it's on
in
the river.
In terms of the terrain.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
Gorgeous. It's a little cold. I realize that.
We don't care.
This is about as far north as I want to go. Because otherwise the winters get a little longer than I really want them to go. but it's just gorgeous, you know, gorgeous terrain, beautiful and so forth. But I'm just thinking, what is going on with lacrosse that they need this campaign to remind adult people, like, hey, don't forget about your mom or your grandma. They were once your heroes. And I thought to myself, you shouldn't remind adults too often about how good their parents were, because I'm thinking there are a few. They're like, you know what?
Well, wait a minute. I remember what they did to me.
I had to go through years and decades of counseling to get over those formative years.
Right.
Don't remind me too much. Yeah, don't remind me too much. Hero. How are we defining hero?
Right.
Most of the time, I had to make that alcoholic it's breakfast in the morning. You know? Yeah. I mean, like, so I'm just curious what happened? And why?
Yeah.
Why is lacrosse having these billboards of like, hey, just a reminder, you know, they were good to you, don't be good to them? Or like, hey, you know, how are you going to spend time with your mom and dad this weekend? Unless
it said that even?
I'm trying to think of all the different ones, but it all have the same flair, which is don't forget about your parents who are older.
Because I can remember years ago, Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if she's on the radio anymore.
She's not.
But she had a she talked about having had a difficult relationship.
Yeah.
As she was growing up with her mother, but her mother was elderly at this point. And she said, look, I make sure that my mom is safe and she's warm from the cold. She's cool from the heat. She has food. She has nice clothes. She's clean. I make sure of that.
And that's all I'm required.
That's all I'm required.
Oh, hello, Laura. Dr. Laura.
But so she knew her line in the sand.
Right.
She, I'll take responsibility. I'll make sure my mom is this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
But don't ask me to go visit her every night. Or don't say that I have to say, oh, my hero.
Right.
You know.
I don't want to have to elevate our relationship.
Right.
Than what it was.
And don't make, right. Don't elevate it. Don't pretend that it was something that it wasn't. So I liked that philosophy.
Yeah.
But now it seems like, hey, we're going a little bit further, you know?
Yeah.
I heard last night I was watching BVOVN, which is a Christian network. And somebody had written in and said, you know, I wanted to thank you for your television show because I'm 87 years old, and my husband is 91, and we don't get out anymore to go to church, and we're grateful for you, and we're also grateful that our 67-year-old daughter has come to live with us, and she takes care of us and makes sure that we have our food and stuff, and we're blessed to have her, and we just want you to pray for our family, our new family.
Yeah, and pray for her health.
and pray for her.
Pray for her health.
and I thought, oh, it's so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, because at some point, because I imagine Europe, I always grew up as an Italian, you know, American. I grew up with this notion that, like in Italy, like you'd have your storefront on the first level, and then the oldest people go to the second because they can't walk up, and then the second oldest people, and then the children would live on the fourth floor.
Right.
So you always were together. You always could check on each other. There was always the Sunday meal or whatever. So it was never not like that.
Right.
So I grew up with that. And so I'm used to a kind of a communal living idea.
Right.
And I think some people probably aren't. But I know that when, you know, you had your Lyme disease and there were days that I was so scared because you got bad so quickly.
Right.
And you lost your vision and I was like, I can't even imagine what is going on with you.
Right.
And we had to wait to get into to see all these, you know, doctors and stuff. And it was weird to think not just of the moment, but you don't want to let that thought in. But if something bad happened, how my life would change, right, and become the caretaker again.
Right.
You know, and so it is interesting,
yeah,
you know, to think about these dynamics that we all kind of have to sort of face in America now, because we're not that rich that everybody's going to retire well.
Right. So I want to talk about, you know, so in your mind, do you want, I live above you, all is well.
Yes.
And so
literally you do live above me.
I do live above you.
That's right.
And next to you. And we share a life and all is good. Everything about
you're my that. Sister wife.
Exactly. I was listening to Joe Rogan, and I brought him over to you, and I want to talk about this on the show today, because I'm going to say a two-word bad name. No, like Alex Jones.
Yeah.
He's such a firecracker. And
Joe Rogan interviewed Alex Jones, the Alex Jones, for approximately 4.5 hours.
Yes.
That's a marathon.
Everybody says, I like Joe Rogan.
Can I say I love Joe Rogan?
Yes. His podcast, I mean, you can't listen to it all at one time, except if you're driving.
A truck driver.
Yeah, I could. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
But it was weird because I wanted to listen to Alex Jones because he's got such, the conception about him is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Either you love him or hate him.
And you don't know anything about him.
I know nothing about him. Yeah. He talks like this. He's like this all the time. I was like, you know, really like this.
Well, I can remember one time listening to Dan Savage.
Yeah.
And he said, I hate Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
And we had just dedicated a whole year
to
Jordan Peterson, reading him every single day. And we adored him.
Yeah. So it's weird to have one of your guys that you listen to.
And we listened to Dan.
Dan Savage.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, now I've never read anything.
Like,
but I've heard people say.
Yeah, I've heard people say.
So you've never read anything.
I'm like, oh.
So the least you can do, Dan Savage.
Before you give this edict.
Right.
And so
that's what we did.
Yes.
Before we made all these decisions that people are like, oh, Alex Jones, I mean, he's a devil. He's a devil.
He's a devil.
He's a devil.
Devil rabbit. He's a devil rabbit.
Yeah.
And so now I know that Doug, my guy, he does not like Alex Jones. Because he has misconceptions about Alex Jones as well.
Really?
Yeah. Or real conceptions, meaning that Doug thinks he's completely extreme right-wing guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was I had a misconception a while back that he might be, you know.
Right.
Mostly I thought that he might have a mental illness. As a psychotherapist, I thought that he may, and he still may.
Yeah.
But it's not a major one.
Right.
You know.
And it might be, but he knows about it. I think he thinks he has a mental illness, or that he has to work on his mental strength. I don't know, flexibility. I don't know. But what was interesting, I listened to Alex Jones, he's talking about Sandy Hook, or Sandy Brook. Was it Sandy Hook?
Sandy Hook.
And he says, you know, I'm tired of people linking me, saying I don't believe that this happened.
Right.
He goes, I saw some of the video. I go, this looks like this video. This part of the video was doctored up. And he goes, but I've changed my mind on it. And he goes, I changed my mind on it a long time ago. But people still bring up these thoughts that I've had years ago on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I thought it could have been a false flag. That's what he was talking about. And so he talked about this very briefly. And then Joe Rogan talks about with him, and I agree with this. He goes, because the internet is so polarizing and because it's all based on click-throughs, you know, if you want to make a little money, you got to get clicks. So you guys know out there right now, if you go to your homepage, you know, they don't say who passed away. They say major actor of 55 years, you know, passes away, and they'll show you this huge picture, and like, oh God, you know, it's of Sting. Like, oh my God, Sting died. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
And then you click on it and you're like, oh, the guy in the background, see him over there? He passed away. I'm like, who the hell is he?
Yeah.
I go, but thank you for clicking through. That gave me a penny.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a brave new world out
and
there.
And so if you
on
Google
how to make money.
Alex Jones and the name
Joe Rogan?
No, Sleepy Hook.
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more stuff will come up, mm-hmm. and it builds, and it's all about just your eyes seeing ads, mm-hmm. And then you're just going, well, this is not real. None of it's real.
None of it is real. It's so sad.
And I'd rather have 100 people love me, like me, and I be real with them, mm-hmm. and they be real with me, mm-hmm. than have to
only have a story
or a podcast about things that, oh, I'll get more clicks on this. Mm-hmm. I'll get higher in the rankings. For what reason? They'll be disappointed because I am who I am. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned to Doug that I was, you know, listening to Joe Rogan, who he hates. I'm like, how come you hate Joe Rogan? He goes, he's just that dumb MMA fighter. I go, that is one small part. He's a comedian. And I go, I think he's for the conservative. I'm like, how do you think he's conservative? I mean, some liberals have gotten in fights with Joe Rogan, mm-hmm. but he says, I'm the most progressive person I know. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm pretty progressive. Mm-hmm. I have pretty progressive views. Mm-hmm. I also have other views.
Right.
And I'm like, why can't we be?
We can be complicated people.
Can't we be complicated people? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
not just one note.
And I don't want to, and I know that I'm to the point where if you asked if I was a Republican or a Democrat, I couldn't tell you for sure which one I am.
Right.
Because I think at this stage of the game, the fringes have gotten so weird for me. Mm-hmm.
You're afraid to identify with anything.
I'm afraid. I go, don't put me in a label.
Don't label me. Don't put Julie in
Sometimes
a corner.
Sometimes I wake up feeling like a Democrat. Sometimes I wake up feeling like a conservative or a Republican.
And some days you need kitty litter in the bathroom.
Some days I choose to
and some days you just poop on the floor.
And then I had like to clean Elliot. It up. Yeah. And I got to clean it up because nobody else in this family is going to clean up my own poop. I got to clean up my own shit. Thank you very much. And so forth. So, you know, I was sharing with Doug and I said, you know, Doug, I need you to know that you really are my Alex Jones. What do you mean? I'm not your Alex Jones. What do you mean? I go, hurt my throat.
That's exactly what happens when you say his name.
I know. I said, you are. I go, I promise me you'll listen to Joe Rogan and Alex Jones. I said, because when you go on your rants and...
Which he does.
You sound just like Alex Jones.
Right.
And I said, he goes, but Alex Jones believed this and believes this and believes this. I go, I don't know if he doesn't. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, you know, when he does his show on his...
Right.
News warfare. I don't know what
InfoWars.
InfoWars. Thank you. Or news warfare. .com.
I'm giving him a plug.
Give him a plug. I haven't listened to it. I have no idea.
I haven't ever listened to it, but I have decided, you know, on grandma's porch, I have a great big rocking chair. And, you know, I've rocked Donald Trump as I counsel them because I'm a psychotherapist.
Yes.
I've rocked Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to invite Alex Jones to be rocked.
Yes. Exactly. You know. Because, well, first of all, in this podcast, and see, I get to know Jordan Peterson through Joe Rogan. Because the one thing about Joe Rogan's podcast is just a couple of dudes talking with no agenda. They don't have, I mean, mm-hmm. I do believe Joe has done some background work so he doesn't come in totally.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. You know.
100%. But what I like about the interviews, because they can be, you know, marathon.
Yeah.
You get to really understand somebody.
Yeah.
And why they think like they do. And at some point, because Joe brings out the whiskey, or he'll bring out the pot.
Right.
And at some point, the masks do come off.
Right.
The facade does come down.
Right.
And you do get some more, another layer of reality of that person.
Right.
And that's kind of why at one point during the 4.5 hours, I think it was in hour 3, I think I turned to you and I said, I love Alex Jones.
You felt you had a mother nature come out in you.
I did. My mother instinct just came out. And I just wanted to like hug him. I wanted to say, I wanted to rock him.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right.
Because what he is.
I wanted to be the Jamaican nurse. It's all
right.
It's all okay, baby.
It's okay, baby. You're going to be fine.
You can fly away now.
Well, I remember a time in my life when I dug deep into conspiracies. And then like law of attraction, meaning this, not law of attraction is a conspiracy, but like law of attraction, what you focus on expands.
Right.
If you dig deep the conspiracies, you see them everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
You cannot walk out your front door because of all the rabbit holes.
Exactly. And to people out there who saw the movie Us, that's right, rabbits.
You bet, rabbits.
Mom's like, well, I don't know what that means. Exactly. I'm not going to tell you either. It's a Matrix reference.
Is it really?
No, but it is.
Well, kinda. I watched a good movie last night. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yes, you do.
The Highwaymen on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner. And great movie. I wish Netflix would make all their movies like this. You know, uh-huh.
2.5 hours long.
Solid stars.
Yeah.
No, good plot. Great direction. I mean, it did not cost an arm and a leg to make this movie. It was made out in, I don't know where, but Texas.
Well, because it was based on a true story.
Yeah.
It was based upon the catching of Bonnie and Clyde.
Right.
And I think that's why they can get away with it, because there wasn't a lot of, like, special effects, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just two good actors, Woody Harrelson and...
driving in an oldie-timey car.
Kevin Costner, yeah.
Across Texas.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
But it was, I said to myself, I could be involved now in Netflix. Before it was like, oh, Netflix, you gave everybody a comedy special. Yeah. I mean, we turned you down how many times?
Yeah. Now you're like, oh, if you say yes,
I might say yes now because of the Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson movie.
Yeah. She's like, this
I
is
might
amazing.
Say, okay, there you upped your ante, Netflix.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely.
And I'm also watching, no, that's on Prime. I'm watching Hannah.
Right.
Oh, Amazon yeah. Amazon Prime. Love it.
You know what I haven't finished?
Love it.
There's been so many things now that I could binge, but I don't binge anymore. I mean, I'm having a hard time finding the time to really binge.
Oh, no, we can't.
Yeah.
It's like when we were knee deep in snow.
Yeah.
And it got dark at 4:30.
Yeah.
And, you know, our lives were... You know, we had our winter fur on.
Right.
As like our deer have their winter
exactly.
fur.
Exactly. You could do it.
Yeah. We could do it. Now it's like, what? We got this time, we're making the schedules, we've got, and all this stuff, you know.
Well, and it's so interesting because they were talking about this on NPR yesterday, about how there's so many different streaming companies now, and people are literally spending $300 a month on TV.
Whoa.
Without realizing it.
Without realizing it.
They get their basic cable and they get their or satellite, and that's your passive TV watching.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, they have Netflix.
Yeah.
And then they have Hulu, because Hulu has Maiden Tale.
Yes.
Whatever it's called.
Handmaid's Tale. Handmaid's Tale?
I don't know. Something like that.
Oops.
Story, something like that.
That tail has to hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. And then you have Netflix and all their content. And then you have stuff like CBS now has their own site.
Yeah.
And Disney has their... They're gonna
Sling.
And Sling. Well, Sling's a little bit... They don't have their own content.
No.
But all these different HBO.
Roku.
They said... And we don't get HBO right now.
No.
Because they don't have an agreement with...
Dish.
Dish, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm thinking about getting HBO for the time being to watch the last season of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Because I've been... Mom's like, what?
Yeah.
Games of Thrones.
I didn't even know you watched that.
I did watch it. I watched it off and on.
Mm.
And sometimes I would binge on it because you can get caught up. And then, you know, CBS has theirs. And so people are literally spending $300 a month, you know, to get all their shows they want to watch. And then you think about them, you know, we have Audible. You know, we're listening to Stephen King.
Yes, yes.
And we have other things.
Yes.
And then YouTube. We spend money on YouTube every month because we don't want to watch commercials.
OMG.
And now here's the dealio. I think about CBS because we got them free for like a week or two. And we're like, we're not really watching it. We can get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here at the movie theater watching Jordan Peele's Us and before all the previews. And a new trailer for... Twilight Zone comes on. Twilight Zone, a new Twilight Zone.
The movie or
no,
a series?
On brought to you by Jordan Peele.
He'll
be presenting it too.
Oh, my God.
And it's going to be on CBS.
Streaming? Oh, my God.
Only on CBS streaming. And I'm like,
I want to be the new Jordan Peele. I want to be the white female Jordan Peele.
Well, there you go. Why not?
I agree. I've been thinking about, you know, our 8-minute movie
coming
up in July that we do for the 48-hour film festival.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've decided that we're going to, rather than go to Chicago, which we did last year, we're going to Janesville, Wisconsin, because we have seen the winner of the Chicago one, which wasn't us, and we saw the winner of the Janesville one, which,
you know. It's not Janesville. Do you not want to share the real name because it's, you don't want to give people away?
Oh, is it Madison?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I was just like, why are you saying Janesville?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, no, I really do want to keep people away. Yeah.
Okay.
So, so I always saw the winner of that one.
Yeah.
And we said, you know, we got a chance of winning
in
if
Madison.
We stick with Madison.
Because it was more like us, too. It was edgy, but not too edgy. It had a sweet personality behind it.
And Chicago was like very high.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So we have a chance to be more in it.
Yeah.
In the Madison one.
I was thinking about, our Christmas movie that we did.
Yeah.
And do you remember that in the Christmas movie, I played myself, who was born on November 15th, and then I played my evil twin sister, Christmas, who was born on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And people asked, well, how can that happen? How can you be twins? And you be born in November 15th, and then your evil twin be born on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Well, just this week in the UK, a woman gave birth, and then 29 days later gave birth to...
the twin?
Another baby.
Oh.
And so I was not far off.
No.
When I predicted that happening.
Right.
But the thing was, what was different with her is that she had two wombs.
Oh.
And so one womb got pregnant, and then I guess 26 or 29 days later, the next womb got pregnant. So
they weren't twins.
She didn't have twins. She had two real babies.
That's crazy.
Huh?
What did her belly look like?
I have no idea.
Like, was there a dip
in it? She was just a normal, small person.
Yeah.
And had two babies in a month.
And two wombs. Now, if I was Alex Jones, I think that would be alien. Like, that is definitely alien genetics in there.
And there's deep
state. There's some kind of, like, conspiracy there.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, he would say, what was he saying about that we have, that there's the pig human? There's like humans have pig parts, and some places there's pigs that have human parts, and they're walking around.
Well, it's so bizarre, because we'll
and
listen
that's
to...
that's alien stuff?
Yeah, it's alien stuff. And he goes, alien is just stuff that you don't know what's about. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, well, then, yeah.
It's a deep state.
A deep state.
Well, the deep state has a deep state.
Yeah. You know, and if you're conservative, you think that it's the extreme liberal, the liberal elite.
Yeah.
And if you're liberal, it's a conservative elite.
Oh yeah, he was exactly right.
That's why I'm just like, I'm staying out of it.
He was trying
to this fight you guys have between each other. I'm out of it.
Yeah,
I'm staying out of
it.
We're
going to be onlookers and watch that.
I only live in this planet for a short amount of time. I'm going to try and be as
you're in peace, Julie.
Well, yeah, I'm in peace because of the fact that we did a color coding test.
Right. Oh, that's true. We should talk about that. No, but I wanted to say, too, that Alex was talking about his relatives, that he has relatives that go back into the deep state and in Germany and stuff like that. And he was talking about a great uncle who was part of this hospital, in Germany.
Yeah.
And the uncle told him, he said, you know, from everything that I've seen, I do not want you ever to sign the back of one of those, your driver's license.
Donor cards,
so your donor card, because you can go down a rabbit hole. He said he knew, and he said that in this one hospital that he worked at, there was this one guy that was going in for a, I think just like a vasectomy or something. Mm-hmm. But instead... they ended up giving him a circumcision.
Oh, okay.
It was an accident.
Okay.
And
so he wasn't snipped to begin with?
He was just going to have a vasectomy.
Okay.
And so they gave him a circumcision, and he I guess that with the tissue from the circumcision, they gave this blind person or something eyelids.
Okay.
They gave him eyelids.
Okay.
But the problem was when, after the surgery for the eyelids, they discovered he was cockeyed. Did I have to go a long way
God.
For that?
God.
Did I have to go a long way for that?
Well, because I thought the joke would have been this. And what we didn't know is that there was a conspiracy. The wife gave the doctor like $1,000 to say, can you please cut off the extra skin? I get tired of looking at it. I go, please. I thought he was circumcised.
Well, there's been a whole conspiracy of men that don't know that they're uncircumcised.
They don't know. They don't know.
No.
You know, but like I would,
they asked their partner.
Yeah.
And Dan Savage had a question. A girl come on. She goes, Dan, I am sorry, but I am so tired of sleeping with all these men. And afterwards they ask me if they're circumcised or not. I'm like, you don't know. And you're supposed to, I'm supposed to know. I'm like, Dan, what's with this?
Like, now,
I don't know.
Okay. Now here's the thing. This sounds ridiculous. However, that was a true question. That was a real life question.
From my lips to God's ears.
Here's the problem. If she was my friend, I would say, girlfriend, first off, you are sleeping with way too many men. Let's just chill that out a little bit. I mean, what's going on with you? This is just
chill the F out.
Yeah, I know, you know. Second of all, is it like a game? They're kind of playing with you. There's like maybe some secret thing like, yeah. Hey,
I'll sleep with me and find out if I'm circumcised or not.
Yeah, am I circumcised? Am I not circumcised? Mm-hmm. But then we were taught, I didn't bring this up with my father. I have never seen anybody.
You are your father's daughter. Yes. You came to me this week and you said, Mama, I lost a tooth.
Oh, Mom, shut up. Yeah. And you're like, before you go to Canada, you lost a tooth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank God no one can see it. He goes, I've had it gone for like 3 or 4 days now. You never noticed.
I noticed.
And I'm like, so I'm not going to get it fixed before I go to Canada.
You are your father's daughter. He just comes at me. Oh, honey, I lost another tooth.
Yeah. 10 grand later, they're all together again. However, I remember asking Dad, I said, Dad, just asking you, would you have known you were circumcised? If no one ever told you, would that even be an issue?
Right.
He goes, do you miss it? Do you miss your foreskin? I think I asked him that.
You did not ask. You truly?
Yeah. He goes,
question number one of the week, daughter. Do you miss your foreskin, father?
Listen.
Well, daughter.
I have to, listen, when I was young, and the questions were, hey, why is the sky blue?
Exactly.
Why are the clouds white?
Why is the sun hot?
Yeah. I've been living with the guy for a long time. Like, I got my questions. Hey, do you miss your foreskin? Just curious. I need to say that in a British accent, though.
Yeah.
Do you miss your foreskin?
Father?
Father. And then,
may I have a figgy pudding, please?
Now, I will give some backstory. Because previously, I think we were talking about all the Washington, D.C. and all the protesting that goes on there.
Right, right.
And I said, when I was in Washington, D.C., the only protest that I saw, this was years ago, was this man. He was very, 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 very angry about having to have been circumcised as a kid, as a baby. And he said, it is mutilation. We should not allow our baby boys to go through this mutilation as a baby.
Right.
And that's when I asked. It wasn't the clear blue sky.
No, you were thinking about protesting.
Yes, and I go, so Dad, I mean, is it a big issue? And I go, first off, would you ever even realize that there was an option? I mean, he goes, I would have never known, but my father wasn't circumcised, so I knew his was not like mine.
Like, one of these things not like the other.
I'm like, okay. I go, well, there you go. So if you never had seen your dad's, you would never even known.
Right.
It goes, no, I just would have grown up with it. Right. No big dealio.
Right.
So I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And so he said he did not miss it.
He said he didn't miss it. And it was fine with him. As far as you know, everything was A-okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that you're okay with it.
Yeah. I guess.
But if the truth is, you wouldn't have cared. Either way, it's fine.
I wouldn't know about
you
the
know
other
it.
One.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's exactly.
Maybe I should find out, though, before I die.
Maybe you should sleep with a lot of men before you die. That's right. Make that your goal. Or you could just be a checker. You know, like...
You know how, like, those big semis say, you know, skirt check here?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll just have, like...
Circumcision
check.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can answer people's questions. We'll have the rocking chair on the porch.
Yes.
People can just make an appointment.
Yep.
And they can come on my porch and ask...
Literally.
Ask Christy Marie.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always...
Am Christy Marie, am I circumcised or not? You tell me.
I always remember thinking about Dad when he got sick after he had his heart attack years ago.
Yeah.
And we were going to his doctor, who was a nurse practitioner. And
It was a nurse practitioner, but it was a male
nurse practitioner who was training a female nurse practitioner at the time.
Right.
Who was in school.
Right.
And I went
and
with my
dad was really sick.
Because he was not getting any help. He was really sick. And you had told me after he had gone back to the doctor several times.
Yeah, several times.
And not getting any relief. And the relief he was getting was, oh, you know what? You need to go out there and play cards with your friends and get out there and enjoy life. Yeah. I think you're just depressed.
And one guy even gave him a little blue pill.
Yeah.
Saying, that's all you need, baby.
Yeah, that's all you need, blue
just
pill.
You just feel better.
Except that my father was neglecting to tell the doctors that his testicles were huge.
Yeah.
He didn't tell
me
either.
The size of an elephant.
Not an elephant. I would have seen that through his pants.
Yeah.
They were the size of an elephant. elephant testicles?
There are elephant testicles.
Well, I know. If they're mammals. They have testicles.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, they were big.
Yes.
And so you
had... There was some kind of elephant testicle disease.
Right.
That I've seen that... Usually it's in foreign countries.
Yeah.
But the men have to have wheelbarrows. They put their nuts or the testicles in the wheelbarrow, and that's how they drive
around.
You see,
at some point, you're so good.
In a wheelbarrow?
Not at all.
It's the truth.
It's not the truth.
It's the truth.
Okay. See, if you have one story like that, does not mean it's a population of guys. I mean, at some point.
You see a guy walking around with a wheelbarrow and having, a nut sack in there.
It would be so funny if, like... They had fake logs in the wheelbarrow.
Oh, yeah. Just pretend like I really don't need
this
wheelbarrow.
It's like, here's a stone, and it's really a big stone, but you lift it up, it just weighs nothing because your key's underneath it.
Yeah.
And here would be like a pile of lumber in a wheelbarrow. You lift up that, it's really your nuts.
Yeah. Because you don't want anybody to know that the reason that you always are with a wheelbarrow.
I'm just thinking at some point I would have those chopped off.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
But anyway, so Dad, get back to the story.
Sorry. Oh, my God. So anyway.
He was advising playing cards or something again.
Yeah, this is the reason why you're not doing well.
Yeah.
And so you made me go to the doctor with him. And I'm like, okay, I'll go because he's an advocate. And I'm like, I'll go. An advocate. That's it. And so I go, and I'm listening to Dad because I'm curious how he's going to present this.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they're about ready to be done. And I go, well... I'm going to step in now because for whatever reason, I have no idea why my father's not talking to you. This is not my father. He doesn't act like this. And I don't know this for firsthand knowledge, but my mom is telling me that his testicles are huge. Mm-hmm. They're like really big. And I think he's got an infection.
And then he goes, oh.
His head drops.
Yeah.
And I go, I don't know why he's not telling you guys this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nurse practitioner says, well, let's look at the Franks and Beans. And would you mind if she looks at the Franks and Beans too? Because she's in training.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad's so sick, he's like, sure, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm like, maybe he would have cared a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I mean, I know doctors have to get trained.
Or like, now the guy, after he goes, but I'm training this person. What are the odds that she could see elephant testicles in her training period?
In her mind... Lucky day. Another box checked off in her training.
Yeah.
So she gets to see it.
Yeah.
And so then I walk out, and then 20 minutes later, I go, I'm able to come back in. I'm like, what the hell happened? Because I feel better. I'm like, oh, good. Okay. We've got a plan. We got a therapy plan.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. That worked out.
We got a plan to get those back into shape here.
So anyway, back to Alex Jones and misconceptions. Now that I'm in this rabbit hole, I see misconceptions everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm realizing that I spend a lot of time, like how many times I've been conceived a different way. No, represent like perceived. Perceived a different way than I wanted to.
Right.
There have been times, like this morning, you said, and this is how it is with us. If I'm really productive and like, let's get on with the day, you always say, Julie, you're just seeing me a little clippy. And like, you're like a little bit,
I use that word a lot with you.
You do. You seem really clippy.
Yeah, you're clippy.
What's going on with you?
You're like, let's go, Mom. Let's do this.
Let's do this. And I go, oh, I go, no, I'm just being on your side. You've given me a list of all the things you want to do, and I want to accomplish them. And you're like, oh, okay. I just thought you were kind of like upset with me for wanting, you know, for having my needs stated. Like, no, no, I'm pissed.
I love the way, oh, I just thought you were done. I love that. Yeah, thanks, Jill.
I didn't say that. That's you. That's you. That's you doing that. So I've got Doug, hopefully, like I said, Doug, I'm dating Alex Jones. You're Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. And then he did his Alex Jones impersonation, not impersonating. He was mm-hmm. being himself. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping he will open up his mind mm-hmm. and realize that here's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. I try to judge anybody on any one statement anymore. Mm-hmm. And when I hear someone who does judge somebody mm-hmm. on one statement, mm-hmm. I judge you.
Me?
I judge that person.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I judge that person. Yeah. Like, hey, God, don't do that.
Right, you know? Right.
Like, the idea, like, listening to Alex Jones for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Going, wow, he's not saying anything different that I would hear on Gaia.com. Mm-hmm. Except in Gaia.com, they'll play really sweet music in the background.
And they'll talk like this.
Like,
Jones talks like this. And you're like,
oh, my God.
Yeah. He talks like your critical parent.
Yeah.
Like, and just like, he talks like my brother used to talk.
Yeah.
Which would just annoy me.
Oh, yeah.
Just annoy the hell out of me.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
There's just this thing, like, you should know this, and you need to know that there's this rabbit hole, and if you go down there, it's the deep state, and there's a deep state under the deep state, and then there's a pizza place that's sacrificing children, and you're like, you know,
like,
and you're like, oh, wait a minute, how did I get there?
How did this leap to this leap?
Yeah. How did that, yeah.
You know, and it happening once or twice does not make it a thing. It gives me to make a bad judgment on that one person.
Because we don't hate people that believe in aliens.
I believe in aliens. I've had experiences.
Yeah.
But see, now Joe Rogan talks about how, because Alex Jones was saying something about people's experience on this one hallucinogenic was very similar to each other. And it was all about meeting this alien.
Yes.
And Joe Rogan says, I've met that alien. And because Joe goes, have you ever had that experience, Alex? He goes, right. No, I can't take those drugs. I'm sure he's like, I can't imagine being unfringed.
Yeah,
more than I
can't
am
even
now.
Imagine where he would go.
Exactly. He goes, but the thing is, I don't know if it was truly an experience, one that I made up with an alien experience, mm-hmm. an alien thing. Mm-hmm. Was it my subconscious mind, or was it just, you know, something
right.
that happened? We don't know. We don't know that fact.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. But like, if you would have listened to Gaia.com and they were having this whole discussion, you would have left with your blood pressure lowered.
Mm-hmm.
You would have left like everything's right in the world. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be okay.
It's all good.
Yes. You know, look here. There's evidence of the aliens right here. Mm-hmm. And this culture is actually, we have evidence now that this culture is actually, you know, 55,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't this amazing and
wonderful? What did they call Gaia? It calls it the oops. Out of place.
Artifact.
Out of place artifact syndrome.
Yeah, or not, I don't know if it's syndrome. Something. Out of place. I think it's just out of place artifacts.
Mm-hmm. Which would be OOPA.
Yeah.
But they call it oops. meaning that, you know, they have found artifacts in certain time epochs
or yes.
periods that do not fit.
No. And so now I'm going, the world is a lot bigger than I know.
And a lot more mysterious.
A lot more mysterious. And we'll get
and
more
we talk
information.
Like this.
And we'll talk. And when you talk
and
like
it's
this,
it's very fascinating.
It's all good. It's going to be okay.
And we're all in God's hands.
Yes, it's all going to be okay.
And we are part of the Jamaican nurse syndrome.
Oh, it's going to be okay.
In fact,
it's
going to be okay, baby.
Exactly.
It's going to be okay. Just let go. Just rest in it, baby.
So, girlfriend, how was the show?
It was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.